be with Christ for a long, long time. Because that's where you find it. You find it in Him and Him alone. Him and Him alone. Look back with me here in Mark chapter 8. And I want to talk about the hungry being fed. The hungry being fed. You know, it's that a lot of folks had followed our Lord Jesus Christ out into the wilderness. And you know, I'll deal with these first 9 verses. And Mark's gospel portrays the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant, always working and doing for others, having compassion on others. He said He came not to be ministered to, but to be a minister, to minister to others, and give His life a ransom for many. You remember our Lord Jesus washing the disciples' feet? That's what servants did. And that's what He did for His people. Washed His disciples' feet. And here we have this one who is meek and lowly, who's despised by all who have any power and influence. But also here He is off in the wilderness with a hungry, hungry multitude following Him into the wilderness. Even in spite of their physical weakness, they follow Him and hang on to every word He has to say. What is it about Him that makes you want to hang on to what He has to say? What is it about Him that makes you want to follow Him? What is it about Him? And these folks followed our Lord Jesus Christ, as it says above, about 4,000. Just like Abraham, they went out not knowing where they were going. And then our Lord asked this question in verse 4. Or His disciples asked this question. When His disciples answered from him, which can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? So you know, he's got 4,000 people. They followed Him into the wilderness. And I know this, when they followed Him into the wilderness, He said, I have compassion there on verse 2, because they have now been with Me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they'll faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And His disciples answered Him, said, can a man satisfy these men with bread in the wilderness? Can he? Oh my. I know this, that was a power beyond nature that caused them to go off and follow Him into the wilderness. There was something influenced them besides their own nature, constraining them to follow the Lord Jesus for 3 days without anything to eat. You try to go 3 days without anything to eat and walking and following the Lord Jesus. Try to do that, huh? But these people are hungry. They're hungry. And I'll tell you, I want you to see a picture, first of all, of need. And let me say this right off the bat. Only those who follow the Lord Jesus and are hungry, those are the only ones that He feeds. If you're not hungry and you're not following Christ, He ain't going to feed you. But if you're hungry and you're following Him, He's going to feed you. And there's a picture here of need. First and foremost, look what it says in 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. In those days, the multitude being very great, I mean, there's a big crowd following Him, and having nothing to eat, you notice that? Nothing to eat. Jesus called His disciples unto them and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with Me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And He says this twice, having nothing to eat. Having nothing to eat. He says that before. And so our Lord Jesus here, they're in the wilderness. They're in a barren place. And the opposite of the Laodiceans. You know, the Laodiceans, they had need of nothing. They was rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. But our Lord Jesus says, seeing these people had nothing to eat, been with me 3 days and had nothing to eat. It's like David when he says, is there any yet of the house of Jonathan that I can show mercy to? He said, oh yeah, there's a boy down in Lodibar. His name is Mephibosheth. You know what Lodibar means? He's down there where there ain't no bread. Down there where there ain't nothing to eat. Down there where it's barren. And so these people had nothing to eat. And let me tell you something. My Lord led these people into the place where He was the only one that could do anything for them. He had led them into the wilderness. And Christ will lead you, if you're one of His, somewhere, sometime, into a place where you ain't got nothing else to do but look to Him. When you had nothing to eat. Huh? He led them to this place. Why? To show His grace, to show His mercy, to show His power. Oh my. And let me tell you, He brings men to hunger for one reason. So He can feed them. Oh boy, what a blessed Savior we have. But let me ask you this. Do you still have something to eat? You still have pride? You still eat on pride? Is pride your food? Is self-righteousness your food? Oh, being full of self-righteousness, I don't need no other righteousness. I'm righteous enough. I'm good enough. If I'm doing my best, God can't expect any more than that. And I'll tell you one thing that people eat on that's awful. And it's an old, old profession. People made a profession years ago. They had a time, they had a place, they had an experience. And they hold on to that old profession. And they hold on to that old profession. And then all of a sudden, you know, they just start coming along. And beloved, an old profession that stays old, I'd get rid of that thing just as fast as I could. Don't old profession. I tell you, Christ, let me tell you something. Christ our Lord, listen, I have been saved. I have been saved by the grace of God. I am being saved by the grace of God. And when I get down to where people are like I'm on my deathbed, like Gary Spracker is right now, and so many other people I've seen, you know what I want? I want God to save me and take me home. I mean, salvation is an everyday thing. And if you got to go back there to find when you were saved, you might ought to examine yourself and say, I tell you what, I need saving today. Because what I am today, what I've done today, and that's what said, the Lord, listen, and then there's bitterness. There's people so bitter over what God's done in their lives or took somebody out of their lives or they're so bitter at God because God didn't do them right and He didn't do good by them. And they done took somebody out of their life or took somebody from their family or took somebody that they loved or knew. And they get bitter. They get angry at God. Hold it against God. And then, of course, there's morality. Oh, Mr. Morality. And then this is one that I'll tell you, everybody says it all the time. I'm as good as anybody else. That don't amount to nothing because, listen, if you're as good as I am, I'm happy for you. But being good as I am is not salvation. Being as good as God is salvation. And where you get being as good as God in Christ, you got to be as good as God to be saved. And then there's people that are afraid. I'm afraid the Lord won't have me. Oh yeah, He'll have you. If you're hungry, He'll have you. If He's took you to the wilderness, He'll have you. And then look what He says here. or need. That's the thing. That's the thing that's missing today. Nobody has a need. Has a need. When God saved me by His grace, He created a need in me, and that need's never left me yet. Never left me yet. Never left me yet. And then look here. Look what a revelation of love and grace. Verse 2. He said, I have compassion. Well, how many does He have compassion on? Multitude. How many is in glory? A multitude that no man can number. How many do you have compassion on? A multitude. Oh, bless His name. Look what He says. They have now been with me 3 days. 3 days. Our Lord counts the days. You've been with me 3 days. You know, I don't know exactly. I can't go to when I was saved. I really can't. All I know is that Christ began to reveal Himself to me, and there was a time that I threw myself on Him entirely and completely. But you know, a seed, when it's sown in a heart, that seed is, you know, when you put a seed in the ground, this way Mark described it, you put a seed in the ground, and when that seed sprouts, there's a little old bitty green sprout comes up. Just a little bitty one. And then in a while, it grows up about halfway, about grown. And then when it gets mature, it's a full blade in the grass. And that's the way God does. He sows that seed, a little bit of life comes up. But I tell you what, it's still life. It comes from the same seed, and it'll grow up until it's mature. And when it's mature, you know what's going to happen? It's going to go on. And that's the way God works in people. Oh, listen, you know, and our Lord counts the days. And He says, they've been with me 3 days. Our Lord knows the day that I believed Him and trusted Him. I don't know what it is. He knows it. But our Lord Jesus Christ, bless His name, He had a day that He's going to cross my path. He has a day when He's going to cross a man's path. And on that day that He crossed that man's path, believe me, He's going to do something for you. He don't cross people's path for nothing. No, no. He don't waste His time going to places where He's not needed. And I tell you, here He goes. He knows our deepest need. And they've been with me 3 days. And I know this, that when the Holy Ghost causes you to see the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll follow Him into the wilderness too. You won't follow Him just 3 days. You'll follow Him every day. Yeah. And that's what I mean. Are you following Him? If you're following Him, He's the one He's feeding. And they followed Him 3 days. If you see Him in His glory, you'll follow Him too. And you know what? We're in the wilderness right now, and we're following Christ. Huh? Oh, my. And you know what moves our Lord to do something for them? They were hungry. They had nothing to eat. You know what moved our Lord to do something for them? You know what will move our Lord to do something for you? Are you hungry? Are you in need? Huh? How long have you been with Christ? And I tell you, their helplessness and their poverty, when it had compassion on the multitude because they had nothing to eat, their helplessness, their poverty is what moved His heart to do something for them. You keep Mark here in chapter 8 and look over here in Luke chapter 9. Look in Luke chapter 9. Look over here. I've used this so many times, but it's always worth looking at. Mark chapter 9, look there in verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed Him. And He received them and spake unto them the kingdom of God. Now this is what I want you to get. And healed them that had need of healing. Who did He heal? People had a need. That's what He does. He does something for somebody that's got a need. It's like that prodigal. It's like the prodigal son. He went off. He took all that the father was going to give him. And he said he went off and he wasted his substance on partying. Righteous living means partying. Having a big time. Well, he ran out of money having a big time. And he had to go get a job. And he went and got a job working for a fellow feeding hogs. And I tell you, that fellow wouldn't feed him right, wouldn't pay him right. And he said, oh, he looked at this husk and his, that stuff he was feeding those hogs. Said, I'm going to have to eat this hog food. And then he thought, said, oh, listen, in my father's house, he has lots of servants, and they don't have nothing. They don't have to worry about nothing. He said, I believe I'll rise and go to my father's house. And you know, when he started back toward his daddy's house, and there's always the son. There's always the son. When he was out there spending everything he had, when he was feeding hogs and he was eating hog food, he was still a son. And his father saw him afar off, and you know what it says? He had compassion on him. Oh, he had compassion on him. If you're one of God's son and you're off living your life with righteous living, remember your father got all these servants and they're being fed well. Come on home. Father will have compassion on you. He'll have compassion on you. And what an astounding, astounding revelation of who it is that they have compassion. Our Lord Jesus has compassion. And it's even more of an astounding revelation of who He has compassion toward these people. People like us. And then look at grace. His grace. Consideration of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what He said in verse 3. Oh my, if I send them away back to their houses, fasting, ain't nothing to eat for 3 days. When's the last time you didn't eat nothing for 3 days? If I send them away fasting to their own houses, you know what? They'll be so weak. They'll be so weak that they'll fall down. They won't have enough strength to get back home. Won't have enough strength to get home. For all, some of these people came from way far off. Way, way far off. Oh my. If he sends us away, you know what we'll do? We ain't got enough strength to do anything for ourselves. You know what we'll do? We'll fall by the wayside. We'll faint by the wayside. If He sends us away, have you ever known anybody to perish at the door of mercy? But if our Lord says, listen, I'm going to send you away. I'm going to send you away. Go away. Just go on home. I ain't got nothing for you. Just go on home. He said, you know what these people do? They'll be so weak they can't make it. They'll be laying all over the roads going back to their houses. Fainting, so weak they can't eat, can't move, get so down. And oh my. And if He can't feed this hungry multitude, who can? Huh? If he sends them away hungry, who are they going to go to get something to eat? Ain't you grateful He never sends you away? Never send you away. Never send you away. Oh, aren't you thankful? Aren't you grateful in the depth of your heart that He doesn't send the hungry away? He doesn't send the weak away. He doesn't send the weary away. He doesn't send the weeping away. He doesn't send anybody away that's following Him and has a need. He never does. And if He brings you to the wilderness, He brings you there to create a hunger in you to do one thing, to feed you. Oh, Lord, take me to the wilderness. You know what you ought to say? Take me to the wilderness, Lord. Take me to the wilderness. Take me where you need to take me as long as you feed me. Oh, take me where you want to as long as you meet my need. Take me into the wilderness. Take me where you want to. Take me as deep as you want to. Take me into the depths if you have to. As long as you meet my need. And don't send me away. Huh? Oh my. And I tell you this, he ain't, and I'm going to use my vernacular, my grammar. He ain't fixing to send you away. I could say he isn't, but let's say ain't. Because he ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. You know, Hebrews said it this way. He said, we have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Our high priest, we have a high priest, not somebody that can't be touched, but our high priest can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And he's without sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace and help, listen to this, in time of need. In time of need. That's what we do. That's where we go, in time of need. Oh, my. If the Lord sends us away, to whom shall we go? His disciples, there are about 5,000 walked away and wouldn't walk with him anymore. And he turned around, looked at his disciples, looked at Simon Peter, looked at John, looked at Matthew, looked at all these men, Luke, and he said, listen to me now. He said, you going to go away too? First word out of his mouth was, Lord, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have what we need. You've got the life and the words of life. And the things that we need, you got them. And we ain't fixing to go away from you. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. And then, oh my, listen to this now. Oh my, you're talking about helpless now. Look what it says here. And his disciples answered, from whence can a man, from where in the world can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? That's a good question. Where can a man get anything satisfy these with bread here in the wilderness? Well, a man can't. A man can't. If you're waiting for me to feed you, you're going to go hungry. But if Christ feeds you, you're going to leave here full. As old Joe says sometimes, he said, I have to put sideboards on my plate because God fills it so much it's running over. And I tell you, a man can't. These disciples understood they was hungry. These disciples understood they needed bread. But where in the world are we going to get it? We don't have it. We can't produce it. Huh? They were aware of their inability, acutely aware of it. Huh? Oh my. Vain is the help of men. I want you to look with me over in Psalm 146. I want you to look with me over here. Psalm 146. Let's look at this together. You know, oh my. Vain is the help of man. If you're trusting in man, you're trusting in the helpless thing they are. Really, I mean, you know, God speaks to us in a lot of ways. But one of the ways he really, truly speaks to us is showing us how frail we are. When you see people get sick and not able to go, and they're taking their last few breaths, then God speaks to us and said, that's where you're going one of these days. How frail we are. We're but dust. And if he didn't pity us as a father pities his children, what in the world would happen to us? Huh? Look what he says here, Psalm 146. Look, start in verse 3. We're talking about this, a question of helplessness here. How can a man satisfy these people? Where can a man get it? Well, he can't. This is what God says. Put not your trust in princes. You know who that means? Don't put your trust in the government, people in power. Nor in the Son of Man, in any man that's in this world, in whom there is no help, no salvation. That word six, that help means salvation. His breath goes forth and he goes back to the earth. And that very day when he goes back to the earth, he quits thinking. He don't have another thought. But oh, how blessed, how happy is he that hath the God of Jacob, the God of grace, the God of election, the God of mercy, the God of salvation, the God who changes a man's nature and name, the God, Jacob, who God laid hands on and done something for him in the middle of the night, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And listen to how happy he is, how blessed he is. The God that he worships, the God that saved him, has made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is. And he keeps truth. You can trust him. Can't trust man, but you can trust him. And I tell you, he executes judgment for the oppressed. Listen to this now. He giveth food to the hungry. He giveth food to the hungry. Oh my, that's what happens. Where are we going to get something to feed these people with? Where are we going to do it? Oh my. And here he said, where are we going to get it? Men, let me tell you something. Men, instead of understanding their inability to satisfy the hungry, end up entertaining, amusing, telling jokes, making people feel comfortable so they won't even think about being hungry. All they'll do is sit and be entertained. Entertained. But it's not in man to satisfy men. We're helpless here. But, now watch what happens now. Here in verse 6. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. Now that certainly don't sound right. He commanded them to sit down. Do you have to be commanded to sit down? When you're a rebel and a child, you are. Sit down! You know, he didn't say, would you all please sit down? I'd love for y'all to sit down. If y'all don't mind, would you sit down? He commanded them, sit down. You know what happened? Every single one of them, boy, they hit the ground. The Lord don't ask people to do things. He tells them. You're dealing with a sovereign. You're dealing with somebody that can meet your needs. And he tells you what to do. You go do it. If he had told them to stand on their heads, he would have given them the ability to stand on their heads. But he said, sit down. No pleading. Oh, no invitation here. No begging. You know when you'll come to the table? When you get hungry. Yeah. Well, there's certain women that I love to set at their table. I mean, they know how to put on the feed bag. I mean, they know how to cook, know how to set on a good spread. And I tell you what, you wait, when you're hungry, they don't have to say, you better come to the table now, would you please come? No, they don't say, sit down here. And I mean, you're going to put your feet under that table and you're going to fill your plate up and you're going to eat till you get full. And I tell you, there is no pleading here. And our Lord's people, they obey Him. They trust Him to meet their needs. Be still and know that I'm God. There's no reasoning. These men sat down. They didn't look at one another and say, you going to sit down? Well, if you sit down, I'll sit down. Well, I don't think you better sit down over there. No. When our Lord sat down, 4,000 people sat down. We're not dealing with this little old weak thing that they call Jesus today. No. I tell you, it's like, oh my, no reasoning on these people's parts here. They wandered around, looked around, see if everybody else was sitting down. It's kind of like somebody, you know, when the singing starts, some people stand up, you know, automatically, until, and they look around, nobody else standing up. They sit back down real quick. Well, these folks, they wasn't that way. They didn't look to see if anybody else. All they know was there's this hungry, and Christ said, sit down. They sat down. Oh, my. They didn't say, why are we sitting down? They didn't say, why do you want us to sit down? No. They just sat down. Sat down. And oh, my. How many loaves have you? Our Lord asked them there in verse 5. How many loaves have you? How many loaves of bread you got? They said 7. 7's perfect. 7's perfection. 7's complete. And they knew. These disciples knew they couldn't all be fed with 7 loaves. But you know, they weren't looking to the loaves. They weren't even looking to the bread. They was looking to Christ. They was looking to the one that's going to bless this bread. Huh? Oh, but they weren't looking to the bread. They was looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had too great a need to go back. And we've got too great a need to go back. Amen. We got too great a need to go back. I heard old Scott preach one time, will you go back? Will you go back? I forget somewhere over in 1st or 2nd Kings or somewhere there said, will you go back? Will you go back? Oh, too great a need to go back. Fainting away, too needy to go forward. All we can do is sit and be fed. Huh? Oh my. And when they said, sit down there, that's rest. These people, they're so weak, said, boy, they're glad to sit down. Oh, I sat down here, I can rest sitting down. It's a wonderful thing to be able to sit down. Huh? Oh, sit down. It's kind of like when Moses come up to the Red Sea. Here come this great Pharaoh's army behind him. And everybody was in an uproar. I mean, all them Jews and all them people coming out of there, they were just, oh, Moses, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know what Moses said? Stay still. Just be quiet. Just be still. Let your mind rest. Let your heart rest. Let your soul be quiet. Just wait one moment here. Stand still and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. And sure enough, they did. And that's what he said. Sit down. Sit down. Oh my. And that's what we'll do. We're going to sit down. And ain't that where I'm sitting down right now? You know that? I'm laboring, but I'm sitting down. I'm preaching, but I'm sitting down. I'm not one of them fellas that says, sit down, sit down. The fellow says, well, the kid says, well, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. No, we're not like that. No, we want all of us to sit down. Huh? And oh my. And then look here what happens in verse 6 and 7. And he commanded the people to sit down. He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. Gave thanks. He said, Lord, thank you for this bread. Lord, thank you for the bread that you provided us 7 loaves of bread. And he gave it to his disciples to set before them. And that's all he does. He gives us what bread he gives me, that's what I pass out. If you don't give me no bread, you ain't getting I can't pass it out. Look what he says now and goes on to say. And they did set them before the people. Oh my. Can you imagine that these disciples walking back and forth between these people, passing out bread, passing out bread, passing out bread. Huh? Our Lord takes the impossible, takes the improbable, and brings glory to himself and good to his people. And I tell you what, how can 4,000 be fed with 7 loaves and a few small fishes But with men, it's impossible. But with God, everything's possible. And oh my. And then verse 7, they had a few small fishes, and he blessed them fishes. And listen to this. And he commanded his disciples, go get that, give it to them too. Oh my. His disciples trusted him. That's all they had to do, nothing else. Oh, it's not the amount of faith that a person has, but it's the object of that faith. And if Christ is the object of your faith, I guarantee you. It's like those disciples went out fishing one night. John 21. I was looking at this the other day. They went out fishing. After the Lord had been crucified and he had already risen from the dead, they went back fishing. Went back to their old profession. They went fishing. And our Lord stood on the shore one time. He listened out hard out to him and said, children, have you caught anything? Nothing. Nothing. He said, cast your net on the right. And they got a bow. They started catching fish. John said, oh, it's the Lord. Simon Peter forgot about the fish and everything else. And here's the one who said, I go fishing. He jumped off that boat and got to Christ as fast as he could get to him. And then you know what he told his disciples? He said, they saw bread and fish on a fire. Where did the bread and fish and where did the fire come from? The same place these 40,000 people got fed. And he said, come and dine. Come and dine. That's what he's telling these people. Come and dine. In fact, you don't have to come. I'm coming to you. I'm going to send where you are. You sit down. I'm going to feed you. Huh? Oh, listen. Nobody understood how it happened. They didn't understand how they took 7 loaves and then fed 4,000 people. They didn't understand how they had just a handful of fish and fed 4,000 people. They didn't understand. They didn't need to understand. No. All they had to do was just eat when Christ put a basket in front of them. Huh? Oh, listen. We don't know the mystery of God's new birth or God's working out our needs, but our needs are always met. We know whether we're born of God. Our souls are satisfied with the food that he gives us. And all, listen to his superabundance. Look at this supply. Now look in verse 8. So they did eat, and listen to this, and were filled. Are you getting filled? Is you getting enough today? Would you leave here when you say, boy, Lord, you filled me up. You fed me. And like David said, my cup runneth over. Mm-hmm. Oh, every once in a while he gives us so much we can't take no more. They were filled, and look what it says. They did eat. First thing it says, they did eat. They did eat. And they were filled. They ate all they wanted to eat. Dirk ate everything they wanted to eat. When they got full, don't need no more. Huh? And then Christ, I'm telling you, and then look what it says. And they had 7 baskets left. You know, like I told you, 7 means perfect. He fed 4,000. And they was fed perfectly. And he had perfect left over. Take all you want from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he still has as full as if he never gave you anything. Yeah. Take all the riches you want from him, and he's still as rich as he was when he started. Mm-hmm. Oh my. They did eat. You know, they didn't complain about what the food was. They said, oh my. You know why? Because of who it was that fed them. Yeah. Oh my. They were satisfied. They were filled. What they had was sufficient. They had 7 baskets full. So don't go away hungry here today. Don't go away hungry. Please don't go away hungry. Huh? Are you hungry? Are you in need? Sit down in Christ. Rest in Christ. And He'll feed you every day, every need you have. He'll meet that need. Every moment you have a need, He meets. In fact, I'm going to tell you, this is what He does. This is the way He does His people. He creates a need in them just to meet the need. Ain't that right? He creates a need in us just to meet that need. You know why He does that? So He gets all the glory. Yeah. It's just always come here like this. You know, they have begging bowls in certain parts of the country. People sit around with a begging bowl. And they hope people come by. And most of the time they're right out in front of some kind of a church or cathedral. Because that's where people are going in there, and they're going to give the church a little money. Maybe they'll give me a little bit. And they got these begging bowls. Well, just come with your hands like that. Just come with your hands empty. And you know what you'll want? You'll walk away with them full. Ain't that right?
Right.
Amen. Our Father, oh, our blessed, blessed Savior, our great and glorious and blessed God, our blessed Savior, how many times have You fed us when we were hungry? And Lord, we're in the wilderness, this wilderness of this old world, wilderness of this old flesh, but yet, Lord, You feed us. We find our rest in You. We find that You satisfy us. We find that what You give us is sufficient, always sufficient. And we praise You for meeting our needs. And Lord, I pray You'd create a need in somebody's heart so You could meet that need, because I know You will. That's the way You are. You always meet people's needs. Your people's needs. Hungry people's needs. People that listen to what You have to say. When You say sit down, we sit down. And so, Lord, we sit at Your feet, sit before You, and we have a need. And Lord, thanks for meeting our needs, always meeting our needs. We bless You and praise You in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn 16 in the little chorus, in that little chorus book of ours. Turn to number 16. And we're going to sing Come and Dine. Let's stand and sing together. Come and Dine.
Before we sing it, there on the end of the first line, yeah, of the first verse, it says He invites. The word invite and invitation is not in the new, yeah, in our,
yeah,
in anywhere in our scripture. Command and commanded is in there 533 times. So let's say He commands His chosen people.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He commands His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna He does feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to dance with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master calleth to them, come and dine. There their hearts desire bread and fish upon the fire. Every time, every time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints, the spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now.